Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, Royal Caribbean has announced that they're going to be resuming sailing in June. We're going to talk about that and what it might mean for Disney Cruise Line. Speaking of Disney Cruise Line, they released their summer 2022 itineraries. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And Disneyland has announced that they will be opening on April 30th. All that plus, we're going to discuss an article on the Diz this week by contributor Zoe Wood. Five attraction cues that are worth the wait. All that coming up next. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined in the studio this week by my awesome producer, the Ginger, Mr. Craig Williams.
Ahoy, hoy.
And also joining us this week, Denny Sunderly.
Hey there.
And Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Right? That's all we got. Right? Because we were going to have Jackie, but she was having drama with her computer. So no Jackie this week. You're just going to have to deal with the four of us. But welcome, folks. Hope your week is off to a good start. Just a couple of things before we get into the show. First, a reminder that this show and all of the vlogs and content that we produce is brought to you by DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com, of which I am one of the owners. So a great way to show your support, if you enjoy our content, is to book your next Disney vacation with Dreams Unlimited Travel. Some people think that it costs extra to do that. It does not. It's the same price as if you go through Disney. We're just paid commission by Disney, and that commission is how we pay for a lot of the things that we do. So DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com. For that, I also want to give a shout out to our friends over at Magic Candle Company. That's magiccandlecompany.com. They have a line of theme park inspired candles, oils, soaps, and now bath salts. From what I understand, they've just released a line of bath salts. And I did have to confirm with the owner of Magic Candle that those are actually bath salts and not the illicit street drug. Because
Florida bath salts.
What's that?
Not the Florida bath salts.
Not the Florida bath salts. Yeah, no. No, there'll be no line of those. But magiccandlecompany.com, you use code DISNEYINFO at checkout. You'll save 15% on your order. Right now, I am burning one of my all-time favorites here in the studio, Castaway Cruise. That was the fragrance that got me hooked on Magic Candle Company. I was on a cruise when I first experienced it, and that was all she wrote. Once I did Castaway Cruise, that was it. And right now it just kind of reminds me, since the first time that I, like I said, I experienced it was on a cruise. Every time I smell it, I think of, you know, I'm kind of back there again. So right now, you know, I'll take it any way I can get it. But, speaking of cruises, let's talk about the very interesting announcement that Royal Caribbean made this week, that they are going to be resuming sailing on June 21st with ports of call to Cozumel, Grand Bahama Island, and their private island, Perfect Day at Coco Key. The seven-night sailings will take place beginning June 5th on the Adventure of the Seas. And they will be available for booking through DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com on March 24th. Now, the interesting thing about this announcement is that they are now calling Nassau in the Bahamas the home port for the Adventure of the Seas. And that's significant because by sailing out of a non-U.S. port and going, you know, not ever stopping in U.S. territory, they are not subject to the guidelines from the CDC, which is what's keeping Disney Cruise Line and every other cruise line that wants to sail into or out of a U.S. port from sailing. And this was Royal Caribbean's workaround to that. And I think it should be mentioned, too, that anyone over the age of 18 who wants to sail must be fully vaccinated for COVID-19. And younger travelers, those who are under the age of 18, have to produce a document showing a negative COVID test result. So, you know, we've all been asking the question, is Disney going to require a vaccine? And, you know, some of the smaller cruise lines in Europe that have started operating have required vaccinations in order to sail. But that was not going to be a good indicator as to what Disney might do. Royal Caribbean saying you have to be vaccinated. It's all but certain. It's all but certain that Disney is going to follow suit. And, you know, I personally don't have a problem with that. I know there are people who might. But I think I don't know what else they can do. I don't know what else they're going to be able to do to safely resume cruising. Now, obviously, Royal Caribbean is saying that they are, you know, this is going to be a much lower capacity of guests on this ship. They are going to have mask requirements. They are going to have social distancing requirements in addition to the requirement that you are vaccinated. And I'm almost okay letting Royal Caribbean be the guinea pig for this. I don't know what you guys think, but I'm so far with this announcement, I'm okay. I'm okay. Anybody have any thoughts?
Well, and something that they had said, one commenter, so the question has come up, what if I can't, like, what if I'm an adult and I can't get the vaccine for whatever reason?
Then you can't sail.
One of the commenters talked to a rep. I've not confirmed this, so I'm just putting this out there. But somebody who's commented said that they spoke to RCCL and they said that they're going to try to, they're working on that. I don't know what that means. But to me, yes, I think that Royal Caribbean, I agree with you. This is great that they're doing the whole guinea pig thing. The head honcho of Royal Caribbean said they've had like 100,000 test cruisers, something like that, and they've done so safely. So, okay, let's keep it going. We'll keep an eye on you. We'll see how it goes. And yeah, for sure, I think that Disney, I've thought it all along, but yeah, this really kind of, in my mind, confirms that Disney requiring all passengers over 18, over whatever, being vaccinated would be something that's done. Something else that was really neat on the Adventure of the Seas page on Royal Caribbean site is they've got some kind of flyover footage of Perfect Day at Coco Cay or Coco Key, however they pronounce it. But it was neat to see a little slice of what that destination is. And they've got the loungers spaced out. So again, that's kind of a sneak peek into what that experience will be once cruisers get to Coco Key.
Okay. I've got to preface this statement with the fact that I have not been to Coco Key in a long time. And I know they've done a lot of work. They did a lot of rehab on it and made a lot of changes. And people that have been there have told me it's great. When I was there last time, I can't repeat what I said. Because we'd have a problem with YouTube, and I probably have a problem with my audience. I was not impressed. I was not impressed. Especially, you know, I genuinely consider Castaway Key, Disney's private island, to be the platinum standard. And Coco Key came nowhere close to that for me. Now, like I said, they have made a lot of changes. I've heard a lot of really good things from people that have been there since they've made those changes. I have not, but, you know, I heard this and, you know, I'll get my second shot of the vaccine on Saturday, and I'm figuring, okay, by June, yeah, if this was Disney, they'd have to like throw me off the ship. And it's not, Royal Caribbean is an amazing product. They really are. It's a great product. So it's not a statement about their product, but I'm just not as excited, I guess. Maybe that's it. I'm just not as excited. Like, oh, Royal Caribbean sailing again. Like the minute I saw this story, I'm like, oh, maybe Disney's next. Maybe Disney's next.
Yes.
But does anybody think that Disney would rip a page out of Royal's book and try sailing out of the Bahamas as a home port to get around the CDC?
Go ahead.
I was just thinking, I don't think so because of this, what we've seen them with what they did with California by trying to show the precedent with how safe they can be here and all the restrictions and like constantly monitoring and all of that sort of stuff. I felt like they were trying to be very like, we're doing everything by the book because look, we can get California open safely. So now I don't know that they'd then circumvent the CDC that way. I just don't see it happening, but maybe they will. Who knows?
Well, we are assuming they will be in operation by the summer of 2022. And so are they, considering the release this week of the 2022 of the summer 2022 itineraries, which will be open to book for all guests on March 25th. Yesterday, it was open to Castaway Club Platinum members. Today is Platinum and Gold. Tomorrow, Platinum, Gold, and Silver Castaway Club members are able to book. And then the general public on the 25th. So nothing, you know, there's a couple of things in this that were, you know, a little different. They're adding some different ports of call on some of the trips. They're going to Sweden. They're stopping in Norway. They're
Scotland.
Scotland. Yeah. Well, Denny, you wrote the article. You literally wrote the article on this. So why don't you talk a little bit about it?
Well, and I think it was Jackie who wrote the article about the release. But yeah, absolutely.
Why do I keep getting confused between the two of you? Has it gotten to that point now where you both look alike to me, and I just like you're interchangeable? This is like the second time I've done this on a show.
No worries. We answer to either name, the two of us. So, we're seeing the 11 night on the Magic that goes to Norway, Scotland, and Iceland is super intriguing. That's August 17th. So if you've got kind of going to Reykjavik on your bucket list and also hitting up Scotland in the same cruise, this is your cruise. There's only one. Like I said, it's August 17th. We've got a couple of 8 and 9 night Mediterranean with Greek Isles. Pete, have you ever done the Greek Isles cruises?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I have not.
It just sounds, you know, intriguing going to Mykonos and everything. So that's happening. You've got 1 5-night, 1 6-night, 1 7-night Mediterranean. We saw a port switched out from La Spezia or La Spezia to Livorno. And that's how you're going to get to Pisa and Florence. Not a huge, I don't think that's a huge disruption or a huge.
No, not really.
There is a Western European on the Magic. There's one that starts in Barcelona, ends in Dover. There's a Northern Europe on the Magic that starts in Copenhagen, comes back to Copenhagen. Of course, we see we've got a lot of Alaska on the Wonder for next summer as well, which I know people will be so excited to have back. They're going to Dawes Glacier and then Icy Strait Point. And then the Dream will be moving down to the port of Miami. That's the big shift that we're seeing with next summer. So if you're looking for a cruise to the Bahamas, you're going to hop on the Dream out of Miami to do so. And If you have never done a Castaway Cay double dip cruise, and I'll explain what that is in just a second, but if you've never done a double dip and you have wanted to do a double dip, there
is cool.
One. It is the coolest thing. There's one. It's September 26th. So scribble that date down and get in contact with your Dreams Unlimited travel agent, because you're going to want to get your name down on that. It's a 5-night on the Dream out of Miami, a double dip cruise. And this one in particular, you will go to Disney's Castaway Cay twice. So normally it's once, and usually it's the last day of your cruise because they want you leaving on a high, right? You get to see all the other ports and experience all the other, things to do, shore excursions, everything else with those other ports. And then you end up in Disney Castaway.
See, now, let me just interrupt for a quick second. I had said this last year at the, near the beginning of all of this, when Disney Cruise Line stopped operations. We were talking about, what it might look like when they resume. And I had said, let people get on the ship,
yep,
go to Castaway Cay and leave it there. Leave it there for a week. And we can come and go on and off the ship. You can do stuff on the ship. You can do stuff on the, you'd fill the itinerary. You would fill the itinerary. And I still think that's a great idea. I think if they don't want to worry, if they just want to resume cruising, I mean, it's an island, Castaway Cay is an island they have complete control over, right? They have complete control over the number of people. They have complete control over how it's maintained. There are not a lot of, question marks around what's going to happen on Castaway Cay, because it's their private island. Same with the ship. It's their ship. They have a lot of control over how things are done, how things are clean, how many people are up. And I think at least if you're, talking about fans, right? You're talking about us. I think anybody who's been on a cruise, who loves Disney Cruise Line, would be falling over themselves to do that sailing. I would go out of my mind. Are you kidding? But I think, how do we feel about the assumption that the Dream is moving down to Miami to make room in Port Canaveral for the eventual presence of the Wish, the new ship that is currently being built out? It's Meyer Werft, right? The Meyer Werft Shipyards is doing that. It's currently being built. They've said its launch in the summer of 2022 was going to be delayed, but they're still building it. Some people were hoping that this summer 2022 release was going to include itineraries for the Wish. I think now if they are sticking to 2022, we only have one release left, which is the fall 2022 release, which we'll get in what, May, I believe, usually May, yes. June timeframe. And that's going to be insanity. I'll tell you right now, our agents at Dreams are just slammed with people booking the 2022 summer itineraries, which is great. We're very happy about that. Okay. Absolutely. There's no complaining going on from me about that. But if they think this is busy, if we think this is busy, the first release that includes the Wish is going to have to include a supply of Valium for every travel agent that books Disney, because it's going to be absolute insanity. It's going to be absolute insanity. But my guess is we're going to see that in the May release. Hopefully.
Is there an email address that, like, can people who are interested in the Wish get on a list? Can they email future bookings at Dreams Unlimited Travel?
Yes, future bookings at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. John is going to thank me for throwing that one out there right now. But that's the email address if you are interested in a cruise that has not been released yet. If you're interested in any itinerary at all that has not been released yet, you can send an email to futurebookings@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, and you get put into the system. And then as soon as that's available, somebody's there to work with you. So You know, it's not that I'm not excited about the 2022 stuff. It's just, I got to get through 2021. You know, we have a second Alaska season that we're losing, presumably. Second European season that they're not gonna do. And it's just kind of sad. It's just kind of sad. And, you know, it is what it is. Nothing anybody can do about it. But, you know, I just think it's, you know, we're starting to see some positive news come out. So I'm hoping that before the next release, there is an official announcement by Disney about when cruising is going to resume. Now, from, you know, things I've been reading that, you know, Bob Chapek said it would be the fall, that they're aiming for the fall. They're secretly hoping for summer, but I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, we'll have to find out. Anything anybody wants to add to that? I'll take that as a no. Okay. All right. The other announcement coming out this past week, which was kind of bittersweet, I think, for a lot of us, Disneyland is reopening on April 30th, which is fantastic. Unfortunately, if you don't live in the state of California, you can't go. They are limiting attendance only to California residents, which makes perfect sense. I'm not going to – can't criticize them on that decision. And that's because of the rule in California. California told them, if you want to open up on April 30th, okay. But it's only for California residents. We can't have people from all over the place coming into California. And I'm just glad. I'm glad for the cast members in California that this is happening. I'm very, very glad. But I know Rhino was probably a little disappointed that he doesn't live in California.
I'm ready to. Yeah. I was like, how does one get a fake ID? But I'm with you, just like what you said. It was really exciting to hear that announcement because that does put so many people back into work. And it's crazy. It's crazy to think their park capacity starting out is going to be 15%.
Yeah.
Like, so those people who are going to get to go are going to have like a completely empty park experience pretty much. And which is great for them, you know, being locked up for so long, in a lockdown for so long is, I'm sure that's going to be an awesome experience for them to be able to get out of the house and get back to the things they love so much. But the second they are like out of state, people can come. Shoo, I'm gone.
Yeah. So you'd be right now, like without a vaccine, right? You haven't gotten, you know, you're not eligible for the vaccine.
No.
Yet.
Yeah.
Would you get on a plane and go to California?
See, that's the hard part, because now a lot of like airlines have removed any sort of that limited capacity restrictions or any of that stuff, from what I understand. And I just feel like we're so close. My guess is they open April 30th. If all things go well, they'll start either increasing capacity in like within a month, and then it'll be you know, whatever. I think they'll start letting people out of state in not long after that. So my hope is that I'll at least have started the process of vaccination by the time that it opens up to outside people. But I'm still one of those people that is nervous about flying an airline. Even though they have said that it's not the actual flight that's necessarily the problem, it's the airport. Like, the people are disgusting. I don't care what anybody says. I have always felt disgusting after flying. So I'm nervous of that part of it, but I also am like looking forward to being able to do that again, to be able to like cram into a seat in an airplane to go somewhere, you know, like California or visit friends or family or something like that. Like,
yeah, I'm excited to do it too. And I'm excited for the time when I can get onto a plane or get onto a cruise ship and not wonder if I'm going to die.
Exactly. Know,
that's really what I'm looking forward to, is the part where like
now death, you know what it feels like. I was going to say, now you know what it feels like for me to get on an airplane every time I get on an airplane with you, and you tell me the plane's going down right before we walk on. So,
but that's also part of my good luck thing. I started that with my sister Barbara years and years and years ago. Before we got on a plane, we would always talk the night before, and we would joke. We would joke about it, because if we joked about it, then it wouldn't happen. That was the superstition. So, but you know, it's also
Pete
fun
likes to watch me.
I do. It really is great entertainment for me to throw that out at Rhino and watch. You know, it's the only time the hair will move. Like, it starts curling, and it really is. It's very, very, very enjoyable. It's great, great source of entertainment. But I'm excited to see it. I really am. I'm excited for, you know, my friends out in California who are dying to go back to their park. We've had the privilege of being able to do that here for quite a while now, which feels like quite a while. They haven't, and especially given the connection that the folks in California, especially Southern California, have with Disneyland, I imagine it must have been, must be torture for those guys not being able to go and visit. There's such a strong emotional connection among, especially among the California Disney fans, Disneyland fans. So I'm really happy for them. I'm extraordinarily happy for the cast members out there who are going to get to go back to work. That obviously is huge. And again, I have to give Disney credit. They're handling this, you know, a 15% capacity is extremely, and I'm sure they're being, you know, to a degree, being guided by the state of California and their requirements.
That's full California.
What's that?
Yes. That's full California right now. California and the tier that they're going in, that will allow them to operate at 15%. And then it goes up gradually. I think 25% is the next level, if I'm remembering correctly. So right now they're stuck with what California is telling them.
Right. But I think part of the reason it's even reopening at all is the pressure that Disney has brought to bear about it. And it's coming from a lot of places, and it's not just coming from political places. It's coming from the residents. It's coming from, you know, businesses. It's coming from a lot of places.
I think it's going to just, we're going to keep seeing it go up like to the next level. So in terms of when they allow people from out of state to come in, I think the first thing they have to look at with that is, now that we don't have annual passes in Southern California, in Disneyland, will people, I think we're good with that.
Are we all right with
that? Yeah, we're all fine with that.
Okay, because I'm going to turn that off.
Yeah, little power issue in here. Don't worry about it. I think the first thing they have to look at is, without annual passes, with people visiting parks, what's actually going to go on with it? Are they going to sell enough regular park tickets for just regular Californians who don't have an annual pass? If they can't, that's when Disney will have to step in and start saying, okay, we've got to let some other states in, maybe Arizona, maybe Texas, maybe some places closer. So I think that's one of the next progressions they have to look at. And then what happens when all the hotels around Disneyland area, what happens when they're like, okay, we need to get people back in here too? It's great that your parks are doing fine, but then we also have the hotels to worry about in the surrounding areas. So I feel like it's just going to be a slow progression of everything in Anaheim, and even to an extent around like Universal Studios Hollywood and other destinations in California. I think they're slowly going to keep putting on that pressure until they can find a happy balance and then eventually reopen completely.
And I'm going to say this. I'm not getting political. This is not a political comment at all. Although it's going to be taken that way by some people, and I can't avoid that, but
cut the feed, Craig. Cut the feed.
Cut his mic. No, I just want to say that, you know, California has been very aggressive with shutdowns and lockdowns and things like that. Yet their infection rates have been some of the highest in the nation. And so I think, you know, there's got to be a happy medium. You know, we were able to reopen Disney World last year. And thanks to the responsible manner in which Disney did it, we've avoided major problems. There have been no known massive outbreaks linked to Disney World. Not to say that people haven't gotten sick as a result of being at Disney World. I'm just saying there hasn't been, to the best of my knowledge, any news stories about, you know, massive super spreader events at Disney World. So, and that's kind of what the argument Disney is making to the CDC. Look, look how successfully we reopened our park in Orlando. We're going to take a lot of those same practices and bring them onto our cruise ships. And they're saying, you know, they were saying the same thing to California. Look, we did it. We were doing it successfully there. Let us do it here. So I'm glad it's reopening. I hope it goes well. Obviously, we'll pay attention to that. Before I go on to the next thing, because I'm running a little ahead of schedule here. Anybody got anything they need to rapid fire like thing they want to talk about, thing they want to point people to?
Whoops, I muted myself. I was just going to say I know I did a shopping at the outlets video for the Diz channel, and I just wanted to say that if you are somebody who is going to go there off property, I have tried to get back there 3 times in the last week, and it was a 4-hour wait each time. Like, and they put you in a queue, a digital queue, which is fine, and then you have 15 minutes to return. But if you're looking to go, I tried first thing this morning, and I still had a – they just texted me right when we went live at 1 o'clock. So that was 2-hour wait. So if you're trying to just budget your time correctly, my tip is maybe wait and go later in the evening toward the end of the day, and you might have better luck.
But okay, I haven't tried to go to the outlets, and I haven't watched the video you're talking about. You're telling me there's a 4-hour wait to get into an outlet mall?
And not into the mall, into the Disney store, into the character warehouse.
Oh, the character warehouse.
That specifically, the other stuff is fine, but you know, it's an outlet.
I was going to say, again,
I'm gross.
Really?
I don't like stuff. Yeah. They have masks there that are $1.75. And my mom wanted me to try and send her some. And I had seen them when I did that original shopping video. So I said I would go back and get more, but yeah, that's been tough. But I'll give a shout out to the two listeners or viewers that I met while I was there who chatted with me for a while today. And I enjoyed our chat so much. I can't remember your names and I feel terrible about it.
You think with that giant head, you'd be able to retain everything, like all the knowledge.
I really need to bring like a little flip notebook with a pen or whatever. Like I wrote down a note about what they told me. One of them's going to send me a message because I specifically told her to send me a message so I could send her, connect her with somebody.
If only there was like a computer that we could carry around in our pockets that had the ability to take notes and. I mean,
I don't wear cargo shorts. I don't have anywhere to put it.
You need your fanny pack.
Yeah, he sounds like my mother. I need a little pad and pen to write things down. Okay, her, it makes sense. The woman, I can't get her off a flip phone. I cannot get her off a flip phone. She loves her iPad, and I'm like, okay, ma, this is the iPad, just smaller. Yeah. Nope, she will not. She will not hear of it. She will not hear of it. And I am not one to criticize anybody about their memory because I got to tell you, it's getting bad. Like, it's getting bad that I can't remember 20 minutes ago. I think it's just all this being in the house. That and the fact that I'm older than dirt right now. So, we had a discussion yesterday about how old Denny was, and Craig and I both agreed early 30s.
Bless you. Bless
early
you.
30s. You know,
so not. I was, but bless you.
I was going to say,
whatever you are, you don't look it. Okay,
thanks.
Whatever you are, you don't look it. So you need to bottle that secret and sell it.
God love you.
Because look at me, I'm 29. Look at me.
It's terrible. I've had a stressful year.
Very stressful year.
It was 2020. That's what it was.
Yeah, really.
when Pete's memory really starts going, I'm going to solicit everybody to start. We're going to try and Groundhog Day you and just make you think it's the same thing every day.
You're too late. You're too late. The last year of my life has been freaking Groundhog Day. It's the same thing every day. Yeah. And it's like, oh, look, I already made this. I did. You go into the kitchen and make something. I open up the refrigerator. It's already made. I'm like, oh, I did that yesterday. So
why are there 32 baked ziti's in here?
Yeah, really, pretty much. You know what I did want to push? I wanted to push the Daily Mailer that we send out every day. Denny does such an awesome job curating the content from around our little universe here and putting it out in a Daily Mailer. So if you want to stay on top of what's going on, we'll make sure there is a link in the show notes after this show is over that you can sign up for our Diz Daily Mailer and see what Denny put together.
Thanks. Yeah, yesterday's edition was fun. We did a cruise edition. It was Corey Martin's idea. And so just did everything cruise related. And if you got yesterday's mailer and you are missing a little bit of Two Dudes on a Cruise that Craig and Corey did way back in the day in the slate of videos that I pulled for yesterday's mailer, right in the middle, there's a day five of Two Dudes.
Okay. And I just want to weigh in that I had nothing to do with the name of that series because when I heard that, I'm like, is that a porno? I mean,
yeah, don't search through anyone's search history for that. Don't start with really? Two Dudes.
I'll be honest. I just
not in front of my
completely missed what happened there.
No.
See, this is what you get. This is a wonderful producer. Pay attention.
You have one job.
We're talking about the porno you did with Corey.
I put Two Dudes on a cruise in yesterday's mailer.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for giving traction back to Two Dudes on a Cruise. I appreciate that.
And I said I had nothing to do with the naming of that because I looked at it and thought it was a porno.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'm caught up.
Now you're caught up. Now everybody's on the same page.
High quality entertainment.
So anything else? Anything else we want to push before we go on to the article?
I do. I just want to remind everyone out there that is listening to this right now or maybe even watching this on YouTube and you're saying, I wish I could listen to this on the go and not necessarily through the YouTube app. Well, that's great because we have our podcast feeds that have been around longer than the show was even on YouTube, and it is still an option for you out there. So please, if you're interested in the audio only podcast, make sure to make your way to your favorite podcasting application and subscribe to us on those channels. And specifically, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please remember to go on and give us a great 5-star rating and a fun review with it. I have to read one review though that had me dying. I already sent this to Rhino.
I loved it. Yeah.
This is a 1-star review. For Denny specifically, it says,
fantastic.
It's from my name is Ryan, and the comment is 1-star. Who in their right mind dumps milk out of their bowl after eating cereal? 1-star.
That's the best part. They wrote 1-star. So yeah. it wasn't just that they gave the 1-star review. They also had to write it.
I wear that 1-star proudly.
Yeah.
Pour that milk down the drain.
But it's like one of my favorite pastimes now, going through and reading all of the comments, and I'll share some fun ones every now and then on the show. Don't leave 1-star ones on purpose, so that way I just read them. That's not the point of this, but I do like this one too that says, I'm confident Craig is a great guy. He has a tendency to ramble on and on with his word salad stream of consciousness and delivers constantly bad takes on nearly everything. Dial back to
says
Craig.
Says run on sentence boy.
I love them. They make me laugh, and it is a lot of helpful feedback too. So if you want to leave us a 5-star, but you want to leave some positive criticism of, hey, I like more of this, let's see more of that, please do that too. I'd appreciate it. So end of Craig.
Okay. I was wondering when I was getting the show back, but now I do. All right. So one of the most prolific contributors we have on the Diz, a tremendous writer. I love the stuff that she writes for the site. Zoe Wood, from the land down under, from Australia, has put up an article that I really enjoyed reading on the Diz this week. Five attraction queues, Disney attraction queues that are worth the wait, and specifically Disney attraction queues, not necessarily Disney World. And I just want to kind of briefly read through the five she chose, and then I want us to discuss our thoughts on those, and if we have any, we would add to the list. The first up is Haunted Mansion, the Haunted Mansion queue at the Magic Kingdom, Flight of Passage at Animal Kingdom. And like before I read this article, I was like going through in my head which ones, and she got most of them. Expedition Everest at Animal Kingdom. This one wasn't in my head, but when she mentioned it, I'm like, oh my God, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout at Disney California Adventure, which certainly would have been on Rhino's list. And also Indiana Jones Adventure at Disneyland, which I think those two, those last two at Disneyland, arguably the best queues of any attraction. Maybe we put Flights of Passage in there, but those two are phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So, Denny, of that list, which is your favorite, or is there one you would add to that list?
I have one that's at the top of my list that it's actually, it's kind of a tie. So I would put Tower of Terror on that list. I don't care if I'm waiting outside in the botanical gardens or if I am inside and just have enough time, because, you know, these days you're just, or if you're in the fast pass line, when fast pass is a thing, you're just zooming through that lobby. I want nothing more than to put on a fancy dress and go linger in that lobby and pretend like it's 1939. That's what I would like to do. So for me, I want all the time I can get. I'm okay with that. But then Expedition Everest is right up there next to it. There, when the queue for Expedition Everest was originally designed, there were just little things placed in that queue that also tied in with other things that you found in Anandapur. So there's the picture of the family who runs the expedition company. That picture was in the queue, and then it was also on a bike, a Surrey bike, that was down the ways over by the Yeti Memorial. So that's how intricately themed this this queue is, and for me, it's got to be up there.
Okay, Rhino, what about you? I mean, obviously, Guardians of the Galaxy. You go out to California with Rhino, and you get up to have your morning coffee because it's like 7 o'clock, and like, oh, has anybody seen Rhino? Oh, he's heading over to wait online.
Already ridden it.
Or he's already ridden it, exactly.
Yeah. It's the ride that anybody, I will do it at least twice a day, like one in the morning, one in the evening. And if I meet anybody who's like a listener or viewer or anything, and they're like, oh, you want to do it? I'll do it. Like, but no, I do love that queue, though, because I've said it before. I love that transformation of that building because there's just so much to look at, like from the blasted hole on the side of the building with like Rocket's footprints that go down the side. Like, I love that because that's part of that story that's inside about him getting out and then having to go back in later. And then when you're in the actual building, I love that there's a Benicio del Toro statue just right at the entrance of this attraction. Like, it's so absurd, but it's fantastic. And when you get inside of that room too, there's a little Figment up in one of those boxes. So you could see that there. That's where Kathy Werling will go for her last moment. No, she won't. I like how there's like the little bits of like the Ultron robot that kind of comes to life, and the dog, hello Cosmo, being in there is great. And I like all the weapons, and there's a big oil painting of Jeff Goldblum in the attraction as well. And
had me at Benicio del Toro, but now that you're throwing Jeff Goldblum in, I mean, like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's just so good. Like, so, that's definitely one of my favorites.
I was going to come in and,
Go ahead.
I was going to come in and rain on the parade just to get this in there. Mission Breakout is not a good cue. I think.
Are you kidding?
It is awesome once you get inside, but as soon as you get inside, unless they are like severely backed up, most likely you are going to then run right through the portion where everything is that you actually want to look at. And then you'll go through and you'll go through the pre-show, which is great. If you're including the pre-show in it, I guess, but once that starts, you're really in it. So like the queue portion where I'm always waiting, I'm stuck outside and it's not great. Look, just standing outside.
It's an attraction that makes me nauseous. Like, I don't know why I can handle Tower of Terror. I don't know why that one for some reason gets to me. But I will go through just for the queue because that queue is really spectacular. And, you know, you can always step off to the side, Craig, and let people pass you if you want to take it some time and look around. But God almighty, what happened to him? What happened to him? You know, I really got to talk to his mother at some point. Like, really, tell me the truth. What happened in childhood that scarred this boy so much? I definitely have to agree with Flights of Passage, especially in the beginning when, you know, the line for the attraction was 7 hours long. You got a lot of time to sit and look at this stuff. That animatronic in the tank of the Avatar, that still to this day, I was like blown away by that. That life-size Avatar in that tank. But just the whole queue. And I will also absolutely agree with Expedition Everest. That's another one. Like, for me, I would judge a queue based on would I want to go through the queue even if I wasn't doing the ride? And Expedition Everest, definitely. I mean, the level of detail in that, even like when you go past that, like that office area, with all the little details, like it's incredible. It's incredible. It's Imagineering at its finest. It's Disney Imagineering at its finest. What about you, Craig? What are your...
Before I drop my hot takes, I did interrupt Rhino, so I want to throw it back to Rhino to see what his other one besides...
Oh, did he have something else?
Besides Zoe's. I believe he did. And then I jumped over him, but I just couldn't take the Guardians of the Galaxy Obsess Fest much longer. So,
see, I'm in the room with
the pressure back.
You know what? I'll throw something at him because I'm in the room with him. I'll do that on behalf of the world.
But Rhino,
do you like a tomato?
Well, I have an empty can of Coke Zero, an empty coffee cup, but I do have my Incredibles. This'll hurt.
I do feel like I think there's got to be something missing from this list. I was going to say that I don't dislike the queue for Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. I know it's not necessarily like the most active queue, but the transformation from like where you start, like being able to walk through the hallways of the Millennium Falcon and like, I don't know. I don't know that I would put it in the best. Now I've stressed myself out. I didn't really have another one. You just threw it back to me for no reason. Get out of here. Leave me alone.
You know what? I was going to mention Smuggler's Run specifically for Disneyland. I don't think there's a lot of great Disneyland queues, period. I think most are so centered on being outdoors because it's California and it doesn't rain very often, so they can have outdoor attractions and outdoor queues for the most part. So there aren't a lot of intricate indoor queues. Even like with Indiana Jones Adventure, I do like going through the entire cave portion and such, but you know, it's also points that I'm walking through there that I get super claustrophobic, but that's more on just me. It's really well designed, but Disneyland has more just you're going to stand outside in front of the attractions and go down and back multiple times over and over more than they have the intricately themed queues like that Walt Disney World would definitely have. And I do agree with stuff like Everest and Denny saying Tower of Terror. I've talked about how much I love Tower of Terror's before over and over again. And you can't say that Flight of Passage isn't the culmination of all their efforts of making a good queue. That is still, I think the Flight of Passage queue is arguably better than either of the queues for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. They really nailed it. So
I'm surprised that no one has mentioned Peter Pan.
It's on my list.
That
just came up in the chat. Yeah.
That after the last rehab, when they added all the extra stuff to that queue, they really did a phenomenal job with that. That's on my list.
I even like the Little Mermaid queue as well too. I like a good water feature. So when you're outside in kind of the area where they have the waterfalls, I think it's very peaceful and relaxing. And then inside they have a couple little nice touches here and there with some extra theming. So I feel like if it's been done since 2013 or 2014, then chances are it's a good queue.
Yeah.
And that's good for us.
All right. Anything else you want to add? Anybody want to add to that discussion?
I've got Seven Dwarves Mine Train on the list as well. Yeah. But that goes right along with what Craig was saying, as far as if it's a fairly newer attraction, it's got one of those really neat interactive cues. I just love how you can, in normal times, you can spin the buckets of gems, and there's that, you can put your hands in the water. It's neat. I don't know how that all will look once we're all doing all the things like that's, if that'll ever come back, if that's ever going to be a thing again.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what it'll look like. Me holding a spray can of Lysol at all the children around it.
Hosing everyone down.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Makes me want to go stand in some lines. In the middle of a pandemic. Okay. That is going to do it, folks, for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you again next Tuesday with another edition of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, folks. And please remember, stay out of the damn lakes, because you can't leave your damn house.